looking at Philip. We started last week in talking about him, and do I need to turn that on? We're not recording this, are we, Tom? Oh, okay. All right, so I need to have that on then. Okay, so we're looking at Philip and the work that he did, and what do we know about Philip? Just initially, where do we see Philip first of all? Anybody recall? He was one of the seven that was chosen to help fix the problem of the Grecian widows not being being taken care of in the distribution of food and so forth. So he was one of those who was deemed to be full of the wisdom and spirit by the people that were part of the church there in Jerusalem. But then now what's happened is we see the church, because of what happened with Stephen and the persecution that broke out after Stephen was stoned, we saw that the church ended up just leaving Jerusalem and spreading all over the place. And one of the things that it tells us is that that the church, as it spread because of the persecution, preached the word everywhere that they went. Okay, so the gospel is being taught all over, and Philip is one who was amongst those that left Jerusalem and went out, and he ends up in a city in Samaria. Depending on what translation you have, some translations say a city of Samaria. Some translations indicate that it was probably the city of Samaria, which is in the region of Samaria, which would have been the capital of Samaria. But wherever it was, whatever specifically, we find Philip there amongst the people, and he is teaching the people the gospel, okay? Now, we talked some last time about two major things. Number one, we saw Philip teaching, as you go through this whole section here on Philip in chapter 8, we see Philip really focusing in his teaching is on two different groups of people, okay? First of all, there are large crowds of people there in the city, right? So he's teaching to crowds of folks. And then later on, we find Philip teaching or speaking to one person, okay, the Ethiopian eunuch. So part of the thing in this study that it talks about here is focusing on the idea that that we don't be so concerned about the numbers in terms of teaching the gospel to folks. So is our teaching the gospel, should it be determined by the numbers of people that we have opportunity to speak to? In other words, as a preacher, should we be concerned about, well, there's not enough people here, you see? So I need to have more people before I can, you know, get up and speak. There are a lot of preachers who do that. They're concerned about the numbers, okay? So if I've only got one person to talk to, that's not enough. I need to have more folks, okay? Now, you know, what Philip is showing us here, at least in part, is that it really shouldn't matter how many people we have opportunity to teach. We need to take whatever opportunities we have, whether we got a lot of folks or whether we got one. Are not all needing to hear the saving message of the gospel. Okay? And so are not all valid prospects, whether they're with a group of people or whether they're just one individual. Now, in today's climate of things, if you have a group of people, then you got to make sure that everybody has masks on and that everybody is social distanced, right? I'm just trying to make sure y'all are awake this morning. Everybody not getting any responses or whatever. So we shouldn't, first of all, be concerned about numbers. Okay, just preach the gospel wherever you have opportunity. Denise?
Haven't we heard a lot of times whenever there's a law to be passed restricting something or doing something, if it saves just one life.
One life, right, yeah.
And so that's kind of what's going on here, what you're talking about here.
one, yeah, individual people, one-on-one is, you know, just as valid. And but again, the reason I bring that up is because, you know, there are some out there who, you know, they go by the crowd.
Well, that's you know. Because of the offer.
Yeah, and yes. And so, you know, we just need to be focused on sharing the gospel with folks, no matter how many or what have you. The second thing that we talked about last time was about the whole issue of who these people were, the Samaritans, in terms of Philip, you know, going out to these folks and teaching them the gospel. Who are these Samaritans? You know, and we were discussing the fact, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more here, that this is really a racial issue here, okay? You know, when you look at the way things are in the world today, we've got people divided on just about anything that you can think of to be divided on, whether it's race or whether it's sexuality, whether, I mean, it doesn't matter. You pick a topic and people are divided over it, okay? What we need to understand is we look at, again, the climate. Let's just focus on the racial climate that we have going on right now here in America, okay? It's bad, and I think, in my opinion, it's getting worse, okay? It's not getting better, it's getting worse. Okay, so if you take what we've got going on right now, okay, and you look at what was happening in Philip's day in the first century between Jews and Samaritans, it was really bad. Okay, as we talked about some last week, Jews absolutely despise Samaritans, period. Okay? They kind of looked at, you know, the old Western cliche about Indians, you know, the only good Indian is a dead Indian, right? You know, racist? Absolutely, okay? But yet that's how a lot of folks looked at it. That's kind of how Jews looked at Samaritans. There is no such thing as a good Samaritan. But wait a minute, didn't Jesus tell a parable that was titled that, the Good Samaritan? Well, Jews would just go, no, couldn't be, because there's no such thing as a good Samaritan. Okay, Samaritans are all bad people. And yet here what we find is Philip going to this city, okay, whether it's the city of Samaria, the capital, or a city in Samaria, it doesn't matter, it's full of Samaritans, and here he is preaching the gospel. Okay, so one of the things that our study guide asks us here, it says, Philip did not change his message when speaking to one or to many, to a Jew or to one of another nationality. Okay? And that's really how we need, that's the message we need to have. It shouldn't matter to us. Okay, what nationality somebody is, what race somebody is, where they come from, or any of those other things. What is the one thing that should matter, that should be the determining factor as to us sharing the gospel with someone? Are they lost? It's that simple. Is this person lost? Okay, if they are, they need the message. Okay? And so that really should be the factor, not what color their skin is or what country they're from or anything else. Okay? Are they lost? If the answer to that question is yes, then I need to be trying to share the gospel with them. Any thoughts, comments on that at all? Okay. The second thing that it talks about on here, what's the subject of Philip's message as he teaches, as he taught the Samaritans there in the city? What was the subject of his message? What does it say there in the text?
Well, it says, preach the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Now, if you go down to the story, what is it, verse 26, yeah, verse 26, where we begin reading about his teaching the Ethiopian eunuch. What what was it that he taught there? What was the subject of the subject matter of his teaching? What was the message that he taught to the Ethiopian eunuch?
Jesus.
Same message, right? Okay. What was the result in both places?
They were baptized.
Yeah, people believed and were baptized, weren't they? Okay. The simple message about Jesus. Okay. What is it that we so often focus on? People, you know, in the church, we're going to have opportunity to study with folks, and our concern and our focus oftentimes seems to be what? What? No, I'm thinking of just in terms of the church. You know, we're all concerned about whether somebody is a member of the Church of Christ, you know, and that kind of a thing, and that's our emphasis. We got to teach them so that they can be in the right church, you see? And all that emphasis of, you know, we even talk to somebody who's a member of a denomination somewhere, and our focus is about, well, we got to make sure that we teach them so they can come into the right church, you see? And it's all about the church and getting people into the right church.
Well,
exactly. And what is the one thing that we should all be having in common?
Jesus.
Yeah. You know, it's that simple. It's Jesus. You know, don't do what? Yeah, don't worry so much about all that stuff. Those details can be worked out later. Let's focus on Jesus. Does this person know Jesus? You see? And teaching about Jesus. In the process of doing that, we have lots of opportunity to teach a lot of things. When Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch, okay, what was the eunuch doing?
Reading
from Isaiah, okay? And the quotation that he was reading from Isaiah had to do with what? Had to do with Jesus and his sacrifice, right? Okay. Now, the text tells us that Philip asked the eunuch, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch responded by saying, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" Right? And so Philip at that time, he got into the chariot with him, and it tells us that he began what? He began at that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Not the church, you know, not whether or not you can have a water fountain in the church building or any of those other issues, okay? He began there and preached unto him Jesus. Now, understanding that, how do you suppose it is that as they're traveling down the road, according to what it says here, they came upon some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" Now, how did the eunuch come to an understanding from the time where Philip began in Isaiah telling him about Jesus, come to the understanding by the time they came to some water that he needed to be baptized? Okay.
Found out about his sin.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, all right. We don't know specifically what all Philip told him, do we? Because we're just told that he began at that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. But whatever it was that Philip told him about Jesus, we can deduce that it must have been something about the fact that he was lost because of his sin. And through Jesus you have salvation, and the way to obtain that salvation is through baptism. You see? Now, how he put it, how all the words he used or whatever, we don't know. But he taught him enough that at that point when he saw the water, he knew and understood that that was something he needed to do, was to be baptized.
Well, we know that the Holy Spirit brought Philip to that chariot.
Right.
Well, he brought Philip to that chariot, but God brought us to his son. He brought that Ethiopian eunuch
right.
to that
mm-hmm.
opportunity as well. These are the Holy Spirit is working in both of,
both of these men. Right. Yeah.
To bring them together right. for that purpose, for him to have an opportunity give his life to Jesus. And we need to, when we get nervous, we need to remember that.
Yeah.
When you are feeling nervous about saying something, you have to understand that before you were born, God appointed that time for you. I mean, that's a lot of thought
yeah.
to put into that. And it's when we get an opportunity, and the Holy Spirit is working with that person,
right.
and it's with you.
Yeah. Well, the reason that you are having opportunity to talk to that person is because the Spirit has brought you together with that person.
We know okay. that he was already seeking.
Yeah, he's already looking. He's reading from the Scriptures.
This wasn't a cold sell.
Right.
He was already seeking.
Yeah.
And Philip had already had some practice at this because
right.
they had already... And it's interesting that you mentioned that. I mean, yeah, matters of salvation.
Yes.
Not whether or not you have a kitchen in the church building or, those sort of the things that we equate with religion.
Right.
He talked to him about matters of salvation.
Salvation. It's all about being saved. Mm-hmm. And that's what Philip focused and emphasized with him. Whatever it was he said to him, he brought him to the point where he was reading in Isaiah about Jesus and his sacrifice, to the point where he realized, okay, I need to be saved. And when he saw that body of water, he said, why can't I get baptized right now? So Philip apparently didn't waste a whole lot of time talking about all the other stuff. He focused on what does it take for a person to be saved. Perhaps.
You have to be saved.
Right.
And like I said, then we go into
yeah.
the other aspects. Because
yeah.
I think we do that too many times. We tend to focus on what someone is doing wrong right now.
Right.
And Dale said this a lot of times in Bible class. Right now, all they have to do is be saved. That's the only command that they
right.
have right now.
Yeah.
Is be saved.
And that's what we need to be focusing. That's what we need to learn from Philip here, is help people to find out what they need to do to be saved. See? And from there, we can do a whole lot of other teaching and all of those things and help them fill in all the blanks of things that they need to learn to grow and so forth. But we need to focus on helping people to be saved. Dale, you had a comment a moment ago? Okay.
He started where they were.
Right.
And with the Samaritans, they've had Simon the sorcerer that's been going around and enticing them, I guess, by demonstrating his so-called power. And so he started off by performing actual miracles.
Right.
And that got their attention. He knew that they were interested in this. And that's how he got them to recognize him as being an authority.
Yeah. Wherever somebody is. And if you notice, if you go back and you look at the life of Jesus and different encounters that Jesus had with various people, primarily individual people that he encountered, isn't that exactly what Jesus did? He took people from where they were to where he wanted them to be.
You see? A lot of times we say, how can I just walk up to a stranger and start
That's right. And you know where to go. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for a moment. And let me get somebody to read verses 1 through 5 for us. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. Who's got it? Wants to read? Chuck, go ahead.
And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit.
Okay. And what was it that Paul was focused on? What did he say that he was
teaching?
Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the message, right? Okay. That's the message. So we see that, you know, the key that we need to use and focus on with people is telling them about Jesus. You see? Let's tell them about Jesus. Question on here. In teaching that message, okay, the message about Jesus, all right, let's keep it real simple, all right? In teaching the message, could you teach about the church from there? Could you teach about the plan of salvation? Could you teach about Christian living? In other words, how confident are you at this point that you could begin sharing with someone about Jesus and from there teach them the plan of salvation?
Well, he said that he's basically saying here, I'm not a flowery speaker.
Right. Yeah.
Really beautiful flowery speech, and that's one of the things he's saying. It's not me.
Yeah.
And I'm also reminded of the prophecy about Jesus where they said that back in the Old Testament, I think it's in Isaiah where he said that he was not going to be this gorgeous
right.
thing that yeah, all these pictures look like some guy off the cover of a romance novel.
Right.
You know? And that wasn't him, he's an ordinary guy. Yeah. It was his message that stood out.
That's right.
And so I think that if you're focused on the message.
Right.
And I think that goes a long way for people
too. All right. How confident do you feel at this point to be able to share Jesus with someone and to be able to share with them, like I said, like it has in here, the plan of salvation? Could you talk to someone about Jesus and share with them what the significance of the church is? Okay? You know, and again, not all the, you know, it's Church of Christ or nothing kind of stuff, but the church. What is the significance of the church? You see, that's one of the things that today a lot of people question, and we've got a whole generation of young people that are growing up thinking, I don't need a church. You know, I can just watch what I want on TV. And I'll do worship on TV, and what do I need a church for? It's not really, and it's they don't understand the significance and the importance of the church. In other words, when the Bible tells us that the church is the bride of Christ, doesn't that tell us that the church is pretty significant? You know, it's not something just to be kind of cast aside because we don't want to have to go and be somewhere with a lot of other people and worship, but to understand what is the church. Can you share that with folks? You see? And share the plan of salvation. And can you share with people just you know, some basic concepts of Christian living? In other words, just the idea that says, okay, I now that I am saved and I've accepted Christ and I've been baptized, that now I have to start living a different life. That's another huge problem we have going on today, is that people are being told all they got to do is believe and they'll be saved. They don't have to change anything in their life. They can go on doing whatever they've been doing, but they're saved. No, they're not. But can you share with someone and help them to understand the importance that they've got to change their life? You see? And the whole part of the plan of salvation, that part involves a death, burial, and resurrection, that you die to the sin, and you're buried with Christ in baptism, and you rise to a what? A new life, okay? That's different from the old life. Can you share that with people? You see, to teach someone those kinds of things. Dale? Got it all right there. Right. But the idea here is basically that we need to be able to start with teaching about Jesus. And just basically, fundamentally, lead someone to Christ. Okay, by teaching them about Jesus. Right, and not get caught up in a lot of the other stuff that, you know, churches and religious people so often get, you know, caught up in and so forth. Just stick to some of the basics to start with, and tell them about Jesus. Okay. The next part on here talks about Philip being flexible in his method. In other words, that Philip was not bound to one method in his teaching. Okay, so if you look at the method that Philip used in verses 5 through 7, what was going on there? What did Philip do? What was his methodology, so to speak, in teaching people about Jesus? What all did it involve? Okay, he's speaking to the crowd. We talked about the numbers, right? He's talking to a lot of folks. What else was going on? Okay, he's doing miracles here, right? We mentioned that a little while ago. Why was that so important for him to do with that group of people? Well, as Dale brought up a little while ago, They were followers of Simon the sorcerer, right? These are people who were amazed at Simon's ability to do magic tricks. And so what a way to be able to get their attention and to hold it by not doing magic tricks, but by actually doing miracles. Okay? So that methodology was one where, you know, he looked at what's the need here that's going on, and the Holy Spirit's leading him and filling him and allowing him to do what needed to be done to reach those people, all while doing what? We mentioned this a little while, as we've been talking about, all while doing what?
Teaching
about Jesus, right? That's the focus here, all right? Now you go over to beginning in verse 26 where he's with the Ethiopian eunuch. What's the method that he's using there? Yeah, it's quiet, it's one-on-one, right? It's here's the scripture, let's talk about what that scripture really is all about. And again, what was the focus?
Jesus.
Okay, so the topic is the same in both situations, right? Though the methodology is a little bit different, the topic is the same. He went about a different method but teaching the same topic. All right. So if you think about that, then think about it in terms of different methods that we have available to us today to teach people about Jesus. Dale? Okay.
And that's where you start. I mean, that could be a month-long process, and it could be a 10-second process. But you see where the person's coming from, what their beliefs are, what their thoughts are, what do they already know, and what do they have correct, because you don't need to recover that ground.
Okay.
Find out, you know, what their knowledge level is and what their need is.
Okay. All right. But let's talk specifically about what are some of the things we have, the methods, okay? You got standing up with a bunch of people in a crowd, talking to people, doing miracles. None of us can do that part today, but we can certainly talk in crowds and so forth, right? And then you've got sitting down with someone, opening the Bible one-on-one, and teaching them about Jesus. What other things are in between those two? What other methods, things that we have available to us to share Jesus with people?
Videos,
okay. We have live streaming, right? Okay, that we do here every week. What else do you have available? Small group Bible studies. Open your home, invite people to come in, and let's sit down and study the Bible together. What other methods? Do what?
Methods. You mean resources?
Resources, tools, ways that we can reach people. Whether you're talking about one or whether you're talking about many. What are some of the methods that we have? And in other words, there's at least two different methods that Philip used. Do we recognize what some of the methods are that we have available to us today to share Jesus with people?
How about when we get the blankets?
Okay.
To people, you know, I think we're giving them the first responders or whatever.
Okay.
Something
and how about
charity in some way?
Okay. How about the bags of stuff that we can give to homeless people and so on and so forth? What else? Okay, all right. Okay, all right, tracks, things like that. What else?
Well, you know, he was doing miracles, but let me tell you, I don't know if you remember, but when you first started studying the Bible with me, I had a lot of questions.
Right.
And I was amazed because I would ask you questions, and God would answer those questions through His Word.
Right.
And I was amazed because I had a lot of questions. And if you have somebody.
You did have a lot of questions. Okay.
We have to have time for someone that's hungry for the Word.
Yeah.
We need to, God gives us, He'll give us time. We need to sacrifice that.
Yeah, okay. What's the method that you use to share Jesus with Minji Wei?
You
met her where?
Online.
Online, okay. You met her online. Is that not a method to be able to reach people and talk to folks?
Yes.
Whether you're talking about, you know, on a dating site, or whether you're talking about Facebook, or whether you're talking about Zoom, or whatever else it might be on the internet.
You put your faith on the front.
Yeah.
On the profile, let people know.
Here it is. You see, those are all ways, methods, if you will, that we can teach people about Jesus. See? It doesn't have to be necessarily just, you know, coming to church. Although that's always great, and we can invite people and bring them here and so forth, but there's so many other ways, methods that we have available to us today to teach people about Jesus. And so the suggestion is that we need to avail ourselves to those different methods like Philip did to be able to share Jesus with other people. Quickly, before we run out of time here, we look at the results, okay, of Philip sharing Jesus with folks, all right? How did Philip bring joy to the Samaritans? Okay. Yeah, he gave him hope, and he gave him Jesus, salvation. What about with the Ethiopian eunuch? Same thing. You see? The point I'm trying to make in all of this, and I think our writer of this material here is trying to make, is don't make it more complicated than it really needs to be. It's a simple thing. Share Jesus with people and help them find the joy. That's the result. You see? And so then the question here, last part of this is, would you like for your friends and neighbors to have that kind of joy? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Okay? And then follow it up with this question: what can you do to bring that kind of joy to your friends and neighbors? See? Again, this has to be something that is personal, that we accept as it's my mission. Okay? This is something that Jesus gave each of us to do. And it's not really complicated. The real issue is, are we willing to do that? Do we have family, friends, neighbors who really aren't experiencing a whole lot of joy in their lives right now that really could use the joy of Jesus? Okay, you identify those folks, and I think probably all of us have folks like that. Are you willing to do what it takes to help them to find Jesus in that joy? Dale, finish us up here. Yeah, and you know, as you were talking about that, I was thinking, okay, so how many people do we know in our lives who are imprisoned, not necessarily behind bars and, you know, concrete walls, but are maybe imprisoned with their drug problem or their financial problems or, you know, their family problems or whatever other stuff is going on in their lives that they feel like that's their life and there's nothing that they can really do and there's no hope that it'll ever change. And they're imprisoned by that kind of thing. And the message we can give to them is Jesus, that your life can be different. And you can find joy in Him. All right? Okay. That's the lesson for today. And then next week we'll be on lesson number 6. We're going to talk about Peter. All right? Okay. Thank you all. I will try.